So now I'm here with all the ladies of Team Bitchery of History, and we are going to talk about the Declaration of Sentiments, which you all heard yesterday, and we all just finished reading together today. How do we feel about women's history and women's place in society? How much further do we have to go? Because I have my own thoughts, but what are yours?
Well, how much time do you have, Allison? Because that's a loaded question.
I know. However long you want. We'll edit it down.
Well, I think that especially following Women's History Month and this amazing declaration, I kind of wish that this was something that more people knew existed. I don't hear it referred to very often, Mm-mm. if at all. And it's a little bit sad to me because it still feels a bit relevant.
It still feels hugely relevant to me.
And it's kind of a bummer that it is that relevant. But I think it's an amazingly powerful way to end Women's History Month as well, to kind of say, you know, we have made an immense amount of progress. I mean, at this point in our history, women still couldn't vote. Mm-hmm. They were still denied a number of rights that, you know, at least in the eyes of the law, for the majority of those things, women are recognized as being equal. But as a society, we still have a long way to go in many other respects. So...
Yeah, absolutely. And also, it's amazing that this was written in 1848, this incredibly powerful declaration that was written in 1848, and women still didn't get the right to vote for 70 years after this was written. Like, it's just baffling because you read this and it's so strong and such, it's so truthful. Like, everything they say, like, we don't have any rights. 50% of the country does not have rights, and they still didn't even get the right to vote for 70 years, and we still are fighting for, like, our bodily autonomy rights today.
Yeah, it's crazy. I say this a lot. It really bothers me when people start listing off minorities, like people of color and immigrants and women. And I'm like, women are not an effing minority.
No.
We're not. We are half of the population. We're 50%. We are a majority with you. It just drives me totally bonkers.
Absolutely.
It's such a backwards way, an incorrect way of looking at anything.
Oh, absolutely. You can't list women amongst minorities when they make up literally half of the population. When you're talking about disenfranchised people groups, I think that you also do have to separate that into those same categories as well, mm-hmm. because certainly when we're talking about, like, intersectional feminism, there are a lot of ways in which white women are empowered that people of color and other
yes.
people groups are not. And there are certain ways that we have benefited, and you definitely can't talk about that in the same terms that you talk about that. But women as a whole people group are not a minority when we're talking about it in those terms. And I think that we need to stop referring to it that way, because it also, it kind of undermines the progress that has been made thus far as well. And it also, in a lot of cases I've seen, like, undermines the argument, mm-hmm. because you'll see guys coming back with, like, well, you know, women have all of these things, like, what else do they want now? And it's like, well, there are still very
everything.
Specific issues that, you know, like, we want
all
everything.
Of it.
All of it.
Everything
yes.
you have, we want that.
Give that to me too.
Yes. Like,
yeah,
I see it. I like it. Wait, how's it go?
I see it. I like it. I want it. I buy it. I
exactly.
have it.
That's
yeah.
what I want.
That's not right,
but it's close
we get
enough.
It's close enough.
I couldn't.
I see it. I like it. I check the price. I put it back.
Oh.
Oh yeah, that's also me.
Because
for real.
Income inequality.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey.
Oh. Segue.
Yes. We're talking about, like, what, 73 cents on the dollar for every white woman. And then that number decreases when we talk about black women, Hispanic women. It just gets decreased
less and less
on the dollar.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm yep. telling you.
So I'm a little bit of a cynic here in this conversation.
Okay, fair. Again, you need that.
But
measure.
In, like, maybe in a just a different angle way.
Okay.
Let's talk about, like, the Me Too movement for a second.
Yeah, of course.
We're in this, like, massive wave of everyone saying more female writers, more female directors, less men in power, more women at the top. And, like, yes, amazing. Definitely for that. And a lot of that is happening. But I work in the entertainment industry and I read a ton of scripts. I read a ton of scripts written by men all day.
Oh,
yeah.
And I got to be honest, a lot of these men that submit scripts are, like, they want to be a champion. They want to be woke.
Yep.
But I literally read something recently that was a catalog of male characters and the one female character.
Yep.
Her description was written as, she's the craziest of them all, and her mood swings are insane because, after all, she is a woman.
No.
That was what it said. I circled it and I wrote off and I gave it to my boss.
Yep.
And he laughed too. And he said to the writers, like, look, you can't do that. You can't write that way. And here's the thing is that the men who write these things go, oh my gosh, yeah, no, totally. Like, absolutely. We'll change everything. We'll like definitely have like female writers and we definitely want that. But on an instinctual level,
yep,
these men will write women the same way they always have, which is the paradox of either the witch or the slut.
Absolutely.
Either the object, they're either like a sexual being, a plot device, or they are a total bitch ball buster plot device.
Yeah.
And it is still very rare to find men who have written women as anything more than that. And it doesn't happen all the time, but it happens a lot still. It is still a huge problem.
Yeah.
And what I always want to say to these writers is like, I want you to take the male lead and I want you to change his name to Jessica. And it will do nothing to change the script at all. And it will still work.
Yeah.
And that's like still a very huge wake up call to a lot of people who are like considering themselves really woke and really want women to be in power. But there's a disconnect.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah.
In how a lot of men view women.
Oh.
Period.
100%. I think that is the root of a lot of the resistance to any movement that does empower women. Because I think that the feminism that we all want is not, for the most part, it's not like we're looking to overthrow, you know, anything.
No, of course not.
On some level, you have to burn things to the ground in order to change them. For sure. Sometimes that has to happen. But for the most part, what we're looking for is an equal balance of power. We're not asking to completely, you know, flip the script and say no men ever should be allowed in power ever again. But that's not generally what we're saying. But men who have been so accustomed to being in a position of power that any case where they are not feels like a complete affront to everything that they've ever known, especially when the majority of those representations in media that they have grown up with or that has been the case for millennia has been these objectifications of women, where women literally are objects. I mean, back in the day, we were literally bought and traded to one another.
We were properties of our fathers.
And absolutely.
Essentially handed off to our husbands to be their property.
You look back to like the dowry system. Like, you know, I'm worth like a chicken and two cows. Great. I mean, that sounds actually like I'm not worth very much.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you're worth more than that. Great.
But I mean, that's been the case. And so especially, and even today when you're looking to these scripts where men are writing women as in effect props, that's this age-old mindset that doesn't view women as beings with their own agency. And that's a thing that's going to take a while to change. And that's why I think it's difficult to get in there. And also, some of them are just really bad at writing. So that's their own fault.
I guess, you know, I guess I stand on the more of the, like, long way to go side.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a total f-ing bummer. But, I mean, it's amazing to be surrounded by so many people, especially in LA, who are like, oh my gosh, yes, female, like the future is female. And like, they consider themselves allies and they like, you know, want the other women in their life to succeed and they want to work with women and they want that. But then you read their script and you realize just how deeply ingrained, especially in the entertainment industry, the perception of like how women are and what women can be quote unquote used for is. So, like, I'm definitely a champion of scripts that at least have interesting characters, and I can look past the prop usage, and, like, a lot of these scripts are still really they're really good. Like, a lot of them still have great pacing, great act breaks, great, like, other things, but I'm just like, ooh, this is a great script. It's a little bit predatory, but we can, like, go back to that later.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw this movie that has been heavily promoted on Netflix recently called The Dirt, about Motley Crue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I watched it this week. one part of my brain is like, I know that they were making a biopic based off of a book that the band wrote. And one of the people that wrote the script was a woman. You would think that you are making this movie in the Me Too era that you wouldn't have some kind of perception of that coming into the movie. This movie made me feel so terrible as a woman and for every single woman in that movie. And the thing is this movie is well made. It has great musical sequences. It's well edited, well shot. The costumes are amazing. The set design's amazing. It's getting huge promotion on Netflix right now. Like, it's getting promoted on Spotify. And it is so sexist. I couldn't believe it. And that coming off of the week before canceling One Day at a Time, which is a TV show that has amazing women role models in it, I am livid at Netflix right now. I'm so mad.
I love that you are angry because bringing it to like just the big picture, like state of the whole world or all of America and women in the country. I just finished reading Rebecca Traister's new book, and we all know how much I love Rebecca Traister, and it is called Good and Mad, The Revolutionary Power of Women's Anger. And it is about how all women should be bleeping angry all the time, and it's perfectly fine to be mad about everything because everything is against us and it is okay if you are mad about it, and it's better to be mad about it. So reading that book, A, made me really mad, and B, made me be like, good.
I love it mad. When I'll see like guys tweet something and they go, how do women not burst into fire of rage all day?
Oh yeah.
All the time. I'm like, we do.
It's our secret. Inside. We're always
on the inside. Yeah.
I'm gonna Hulk out like sometime. Yeah. It's like that's literally my secret. I'm just always angry.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Twitter handle Man Who Has It All? Because it's so beautiful. So beautiful.
Oh no.
Oh my God. Have you not?
Wow.
It's basically
quick plug.
I have nothing to do with this Twitter account, but sidebar on them. It basically reimagines society with roles reverse with like men as women and women as men. So there was one tweet yesterday that was something about, oh, I just got to pull it up. Somebody else talk for a minute.
Okay.
Then I'm going to read this tweet. Okay, great.
Well, I think that that's a really interesting point about anger, because I think that there is also this huge stigma against women being angry. And I saw a really interesting thing today. It was a really sad day. Because Agnes Varda, one of my all-time favorite directors, passed away at the age of 90. But what was really amazing was that she really was able to establish herself later in her career as this incredibly powerful feminist director who just really didn't care what the rest of the world thought of her and continued to make these really powerful things about women and just life in general. And there was a screen cap, actually, that I tagged Max in today where it was from one of her films, and it said, "I wanted to be a happy feminist, but I was just too angry." Oh, and I think that so really good. Speaks to it, because it's also not just about being angry, but it's about directing that anger, channeling it into positive action. And I think that that's where the difference comes in, because I think that, you know, anger by itself is kind of useless, but you channel that into something that's going to drive you to make positive change in the world, to get out there and create, as we're talking about with films, to get out there and to become an activist, to get out there and actually make an effort to, even if you're literally talking at a brick wall of men who just don't seem to get it.
Often you are.
Or even women sometimes, because sometimes women just so much don't want to rock the status quo, or, you know, they don't feel safe expressing themselves, or even have,
they're afraid of the repercussions.
They're afraid of the repercussions, which is a totally valid thing. But just shedding light on this and using that anger to affect change is a hugely powerful thing. So
I love
Agnes for giving me permission to be angry.
I love being in a giant group of like angry women.
Yeah.
All angry about the same thing.
100%.
It's so soothing and validating.
We're unstoppable.
It's great. I mean, but think about how many times, at least for me, like, do I call my best friend and say, oh, you would not believe what this person just said to me and what this guy just did to me. And like, I think we know our anger with each other, but what's great about the book as well, and the things that you were talking about, like why do women not burst into fireballs all the time, is because of what you're saying. Like society so brushes aside and undermines women's anger and women's power that we're just sort of conditioned to think that it doesn't exist.
Right.
Which is not true. And let me tell you, since finishing this book, I'm like, I'm not apologizing. You know what? No. I don't have anything to apologize for. I have a right to be mad right now, and you can apologize to me. Also, I found the man who has it all tweets. So are you ready? Because I found the one I was looking for, and then I found one that was even better. Great. So which do you want first?
The better one.
Okay, great. I appreciate it when a woman holds open a door for me and guides me through it by touching my back. I wouldn't know how to get through otherwise. Jamie, age 29.
Oh my God.
Accurate.
This is the one I hearted and retweeted yesterday.
Okay.
Men do the majority of unpaid cleaning and caring work because they really, really enjoy it. Their choice, their fault, end of story. Claire, CEO, Firestorm.
Bam.
I love it. It's so good.
But it's just amazing, like, when you flip those on their head and you talk about it like that. Like, yeah. It's amazing to me. I mean...
And looking at things and flipping it on their head is like the speech that was released on Wednesday with, should men vote? Because that question never gets asked.
Right.
Should they? They're very emotional.
I see a lot of things online with some guy being just disgusting. Like, a lot of those, like, Tinder snapshots or something of men just, like... Just a man being the worst kind of man. And then there's always a woman somewhere who goes, should men have rights? Should they?
It's, right, it's never a question that gets asked.
I mean,
it's crazy to me.
I will tell you, you know, 4 years in the Bitchery of History, every time a woman starts running a country, the arts flourish, the economy flourishes. Yep. It's the best it's ever been in like forever. And then inevitably some man kills them and buries them in history. Exactly. And you never know anything, which is a bummer.
It is. I mean, Theresa May aside.
Boudica.
But that's kind of
talk
also,
about woman's anger.
But again, that's why we should also be allowed to fail. You shouldn't have to put women on a pedestal, and they shouldn't have to prove themselves to be the end all be all every time. We should be allowed to have the same failings that men have had for generation after generation after generation, yet they're still allowed to continue
so,
on.
So first of all, thank you for reminding me of my favorite quote of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It does no good putting a woman on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. It's just another excuse not to look her in the eye. So praise to that. The other thing besides my favorite quote is that I was just texting a friend of mine because I made like a very minor mistake. It wasn't even really a mistake. I was doing coverage on a script and a very confusing script at that. And I like flipped some scenes around or whatever. And I texted her and I was like, oh my God. You know, I'm sure it's fine. My bosses really like me. It's not a big deal. It's a super confusing script, blah, blah, blah. But of course, I'm immediately freaking out and being like, oh my God, they're going to fire me, which is ridiculous because I've worked for them for almost a year. They love working with me. They tell me that all the time. But it's like my immediate gut reaction as a woman is like, I just lost my one shot.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Absolutely.
Rather than she was saying, you know, all the men who work in her office or the male interns that they have are like, whatever, I made a mistake. Like, it's not a big deal.
That's even been proven in scenarios where, you know, women are trying to get jobs. There's something where a woman will not apply for a job unless she feels that she is fully qualified and can back up those qualifications on her resume. Ooh. Men will lie out the rear end.
Picking up on that, I have a friend who is a headhunter. Mm-hmm. And she posted on her Facebook once that when she reaches out to female candidates versus male candidates, she gets a completely different response because she'll reach out to male candidates and they'll be like, great, my rate is $100,000 a year. I want full benefits. Otherwise, I won't consider it. And women are like, oh my God, thank you so much. Well, I mean, I get maybe like, what are they offering? Oh, I mean, I guess that's okay. And she was like, ladies, stop doing that. You need to ask for what you want. Make it big, shoot for the moon. Like, that's how headhunting works. It's like, if they really want you and we present you as an amazing candidate, you name your price and like, you will get it. That's their job to get that for you.
Yeah.
So it's like just the almost disillusioned confidence
Yeah.
That so many men have the luxury of having.
What is it that Mindy Kaling says?
Like, if only I had the confidence of a mediocre white man.
Yes.
Honestly, I think that's kind of great, solid advice for all of us going forward, is trying to make these great strides. But you got to start believing your own hype. And I think that we as ladies need to start believing our own hype, believing each other's hype, and backing each other up with the same sort of confidence that we would if we were mediocre white men.
Yeah.
You know, also, I'm going to piggyback on that again.
Yeah, girl.
Something I do love to see, and not to totally, like, bash men really hard right now, I also love seeing wholesome masculinity at work.
Absolutely. No.
You know, like...
wholesome, healthy...
Yeah, like, I saw men at the grocery store carrying a baby around going, oh my gosh, I'm getting so much attention. People think I'm like a superhero for just carrying my kid around the store. And it's just because like they are a good dad and they want to be with their kid, but they get such a different reaction than like, of course, like a woman is going to carry around her kid because she's a mom and like the kid has to be with her. And like, that's just how it is. But when a man does it, it's seen as like a superhuman thing. Or Mr. Rogers. Did you know that he had a fish tank and a blind kid like wrote into his show and said, I don't know if you're feeding your fish. And so every time he fed his fish, he would say, I'm feeding my fish now. Like, come on. Like, how can you not love that? Like, there are amazing men out there and who are like wholesome and wonderful and just have no, like not an ounce of toxic masculinity in them. They are out there. I just want to support them and bring them up to the top so we can shove the rest down into the swamp where they belong.
Absolutely. Shout out to the swamp.
Shout out to the allies.
Yes.
It's very true though, because there really are, I mean, it's listening. It's learning when to stop talking. It's learning when to realize that you don't have all the answers. You don't have all the experiences. And it's about learning from that. And it's about building each other up and saying, okay, what can I do to support you in this instance? How can I use the voice that I have been given to lift you up? And I mean, that's important for men to do for women. It's important for us as white women to do for, you know, our fellow women of color and, you know, of different nationalities. It's up to all of us to, when we don't have all of the answers, to stop and shut up for a second and then to lift each other up afterwards.
And I would just like to add really quick, I feel like I've been getting this question a lot lately. I have a phone case that has like a bunch of different pictures of women, like famous women in history, like Malala and Frida Kahlo and Michelle Obama and RBG and like all these women on it. And a lot of guys have recently asked me like why I'm a feminist or how much of a feminist am I, and like I'm always really startled when and anytime anyone asks me that question, because I'm like, why am I a feminist? I don't know, because of survival, like because
women are people.
Yeah, like what do you want me to say to that? But I would say for any man out there who is questioning if like, am I a feminist or can I call myself a feminist? Or if you want to know how feminism directly affects you, I'd highly recommend watching the movie On the Basis of Sex, which is literally about a court case about how Ruth Bader Ginsburg used feminism like to help men. And as doing such, helped women everywhere. I mean, I wouldn't say it's the most spectacular movie of all time, but the court case itself is very, very, very interesting. And just to talk about, again, about, you know, how much farther we have to come. I have a friend of mine who's currently in law school, and he was telling me how he had to go and argue a case in court in front of judges. And the day before, a woman went and had to argue her case. And the judges that were listening to her case literally told her, like said this to her, you should smile more because you come off as being very cold. And that is literally what they told Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I would have literally thrown the book at them.
Oh, I would have absolutely
picked up the book.
Something.
I would have hurled it across the room.
It has been 40 years since Ruth Bader Ginsburg has argued that case. And like, we are still dealing with the same questions as women that she was dealing with 40 years ago.
Two steps forward, one step back, y'all. But exactly. We're still making steps forward. And that's unfortunate that we are still in a state of regression in many areas. But I also think that, hey, you know, this Declaration of Sentiments was written in 1848. It's now 2019. And even though we do still have far to go, I think that there's a lot that we have accomplished, and there's also a lot to look forward to.
We have momentum right now.
We have momentum. If you're looking at this amazing movement that happened that has empowered not just women, but men also. And I don't think that we're slowing down anytime soon. If you're looking at the number of women that were elected in the last year or so and how those numbers have increased exponentially, I, for one, can't wait to see what that brings in the next year, because, you know, these women are now in these positions where they can actually begin to affect change on a real level with policy, with, you know, with power behind them, with the people behind them.
Yeah. Hey, big shout out to AOC.
AOC, all of these other amazing women that are up and coming, and even, you know, to the Hollywood level, you know, we're talking about all these women finally getting chances, amazing women doing work, Ava DuVernay, really giving platforms to people that would not have had them before. So I'm really excited for what's to come. I think that it's never an easy road. It's not going to be something that we still don't have to fight for, but it's obviously a fight that's worth putting them up for.
The future is female. I'm Allison.
I'm Sydney.
I'm Kim.
I'm Jeanette.
Remember,
bitches get stuff done.